بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أحبتي في الله، أحييكم بتحية أهل الجنة، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. First of all, I have the pleasure, inshallah, to be invited for the first time in my life to come in this masjid. So I thank those who invited me. And before that, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who made it easy for me to come and share with you what I have about the topic tonight, which is the sweetness of the Quran. I have heard our imam, where is our imam? Yunus reciting, and I was pleased, alhamdulillah, with his recitation. And I'm quite sure that you share with me that his recitation is beautiful, don't you? However, when you move to another masjid, you would have the same feeling about the other imam. Then when you come back here, you say, no, our imam is better. When you travel to Mecca and you hear Sheikh Sudais or Shirim, you say, this is the one that I was looking for. However, when you listen, yes, come on in, come on. Yes, come on in. Yes, take your jacket, take your jacket. Yes. However, when you listen to Sheikh Abdul Basit or Minshawi, you would say, oh, those are the ones that I'm looking for. And in fact, we don't go to the masajid to listen to the recitation of the imams, rather than we listen to the Quran itself. It is the beauty of the Quran that makes their sounds beautiful to us. And I just want you to see, in Ramadan, at least the average Muslim would listen to the Fatiha approximately 1,000 times. I leave you to do the math. 1,000 times during the month of Ramadan. Just try to compare this with any beautiful thing that's said by other human beings. If you try to tell people, select the most beautiful song that you ever heard, and you love it very much, and within 1 month, let them listen to it 1,000 times. What would happen? The number of human beings will decrease. Do you know why? Because they will go to the hospitals. Anybody, if he or she listens to something 1,000 times in a month, definitely he will go to the hospital, except the Quran. He will be crazy. I just want you to think of this. And tonight I'm going to talk to you about the effect of the Quran on Muslims and non-Muslims, human and non-humans, animate and inanimate. And finally, I will end up with the effect of the Quran on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyid al-Khalq ajma'in. Let's start with the effect of the Quran on the kuffar who were Arabs. First, Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira swore by Allah, describing the Quran when he listened to it. He described the Quran by these beautiful words. Wallahi. You know that the Arabs used to swear by Allah even before they were Muslims. Their problem was not with Allah, but their problem was associating someone with Allah, the shirk that they have. So he listened to the Quran and he said these beautiful words, Wallahi, inna lahu la halawa, wa inna alayhi la talawa, wa inna a'lahu la muthmir, wa inna adnahu la muthmir, ya'lu. وَلَا يُعْلَى عَلَيْهِ. This is the description of a non-believer about the Quran. He said, Wallahi, oh by Allah, I swear by Allah that it has beauty and it is coated with sweetness, and the top of it is fruitful and the bottom of it is fruitful, and nothing can go higher in its degree than the Quran. يَعْلُوا وَلَا يُعْلَى عَلَيْهِ. One time, in continuation of the effect of the Quran on the non-believers, during the Meccan period where the Muslims were under a lot of pressure by the Meccan people, the Prophet ﷺ stood up in Mecca, in Masjid al-Haram. There were some kuffars scattered here and there, and he raised his voice and he started reciting this verse, Surah An-Najm, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والنجم إذا هوى ما ضل صاحبكم وما غوى وما ينطق عن الهوى. And he continued. If we were talking about the beauty of the recitations of those imams that I mentioned, I just want you to think how beautiful the recitation of the Prophet ﷺ was. So everybody started paying attention to the recitation of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were touched, Muslims and non-Muslims, and they let the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was their enemy, let him continue until he reached the verse that says, فَاسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ وَاعْبُدُوا. Then prostrate to Allah and worship Him. Immediately, the non-Muslims prostrated and made sujood. Doesn't it deserve Allahu Akbar? Try to imagine that. The enemies of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were reciting to their enemy. They listened to the Quran that they hated first, and then they were so touched by the words of the Quran to the degree when the verse commanded them, فَاسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ وَاعْبُدُوا, they immediately prostrated and made sujood. This is a kind of the effect of the Quran on the non-believers at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is a very famous story that took place in the United States in Arizona, and it had been reported by Sheikh Ahmed Al-Qattan from Kuwait. He mentioned this story. He said that there was a student here from Kuwait studying. He's an engineer. He was studying engineering here at the University of Arizona. And there was a time that they got an exam, a midterm exam or something, and the exam was very tough. So the students were so tense and nervous. So the Muslim engineer requested from the professor to let him play a tape that he had in his pocket. Seems that he was preparing for the event. So the American professor, who was very flexible, allowed him to play the tape. He said, go ahead and play the tape. Then he put the tape, and the player recited, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان. And after a few minutes, everybody cooled down. And he was the only Muslim in the class, and all of them were non-Muslims, and even they don't know Arabic. But the music or the sounds or the rhythm of the Quran affected them to the degree when the tape stopped, they looked at him and asked him, would you please replay the tape again? This is the effect of the Quran upon the hearts of the non-believers. And that's why, by the way, I advise all of you to be ready in your car and have some recitation of them. So whenever you have someone with you, just play the Quran. And you will see the effect of this Quran on the heart of it. This is the effect of the Quran on the non-believers. What is the effect of the Quran on the believers? Listen to the many verses that came in the Quran. One of them, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإذا تتلى عليهم آيات الرحمن خروا سجدا وبكيا. When the verses from Ar-Rahman, when the verses from Allah are recited to their ears, they are so affected and they fell down and they cry. This is the effect of the Quran on the hearts of the believers. And this is the effect that we should have on our hearts. Now let's move from the effect of the Quran on humans to the non-humans. Even the non-human beings, like the devils, like the shaitan, were affected by the words of the Quran. All of you know a couple of surahs in the Quran that talk about this. Surah Al-Jinn, قالوا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, in the beginning, and then preach it. إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا يَهْدِي إِلَى الرُّشْدِ فَآمَنَّا بِهِ. The jinns, they listened to the Quran and they said that indeed we listened to an amazing Quran. It guides to guidance and the truth. And immediately we believed in it. This is the effect of the Quran on the non-humans. Now let's go to the effect of the Quran on the inanimate. Not just human beings, not just the jinns, even on the inanimate things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the Quran, many verses also, and this is one of them, talking about the hardest and the toughest thing, the stones and the mountains. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. Had we sent down the Quran upon a mountain full of rocks, you will find the Quran, the mountain, calm, quiet, and it will be affected by the magnitude of the words of the Quran to the degree that it will fall apart into pieces being affected by the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ, these parables, we give them to human beings so that they reflect upon the words of the Quran. And that's why one of our problems would be when we listen to the Quran and we don't reflect upon the verses. As the other verse says about that, the verse that talks about how the Quran, if you don't reflect upon it, that means you have problem in your heart. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أفلا يتدبرون القرآن أم على قلوب أقفالها. أفلا يتدبرون القرآن, don't they reflect upon the verses of the Quran, or do they have locks upon their hearts? And this address is to the Muslims, basically. If we don't try to understand the verses of the Quran, if we don't try not just to understand and reflect upon them, and tell ourselves, yes, this verse addresses me, and this verse addresses me, and addresses him, and addresses her, because some of us listen to the Quran, and they would think that this Quran was just sent to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and Umar and Ali and Uthman radiallahu anhu. No, Allah, it is sent to every human being, not just the Muslims. But what the Muslims need to do, to reflect upon verses that are very scary. And that's why the scholars say, when you listen to Ya Ayyuhan Nas, O you people, you pay attention. Because we are human beings. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with a verse with Ya Ayyuhan Nas, so pay attention. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with Ya Ayyuhal Ladina Amanu, pay more attention, because He is calling you. To the degree that some of the Mufassirin said that in order to understand the verse very well, take this ayah and put your name in a stamp. Ya Ahmad, Ya Ibrahim, Ya Khan, Ya Ali, see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you. So the scholars say, pay more attention. فَأَرْعِهَا سمعك. It's either going to ask you something, to do something that's beneficial for you, or to prohibit you from doing something that is dangerous for you. Look at this verse, which is the only verse in the Quran, and still hundreds and thousands of Muslims just pass by it without reflection. It's the only verse in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He would launch a war against the believers. Do you recall that verse? What is that verse? Yes. The only verse in the Quran is about riba. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah will launch a war against the believers. Try to imagine that. Allah is launching a war against the believers. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. It starts with Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Ittaqullah. وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَى إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. So it starts with يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and it ends with إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ, which means, O you those who claim to be believers, not true believers, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them at the end, if you are really believers. So the first part of it, he's talking about those who claim by their tongues, by coming to the mosque, that they are believers. However, they still disobey Allah. And they still stick to riba in its different forms. Whether it has a beautiful name of interest or mortgage, they fall victim of this issue. اتقوا الله وذروا ما بقي من الربا إن كنتم مؤمنين فإن لم تفعلوا. If you don't do it, فأذنوا. Be ready. بحرب من الله ورسوله. Get ready to be fought by Allah and His Messenger. Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه explained this verse by saying, on the day of judgment, those who insisted on dealing with riba in its all different forms will be given a sword and will be asked to fight with Allah on the Day of Judgment. Brothers and sisters, who wants to be in this situation? Who wants to be in that situation? And it's still because we think that there is something beneficial in this dunya, we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah tests us in the money. Do we love this money more, or we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more? Do we love our spouses more, or do we love Allah more? Do we love our children more, or do we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more? Our tongue says, of course we love Allah more. But our actions do not match our sayings. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the believers, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُوا. It's easier to say something, but we don't do it. And you do that. We do this. We believers do this. We have this weakness. But it is time in Ramadan to change ourselves. We cannot change ourselves, by the way, until we go deep and try to reflect upon these verses. See the ayah that talks about the reflection of the verses of the Quran. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Please raise your hand if you want me to stop, Sheikh. Take your time, Sheikh. Take your time. Okay, salat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Close to the end of Surah Al-Imran. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار. I want you to see the process sees how it works. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth are signs that they are from Allah. They are signs from you. When you see them, you would believe that the one who created them is Allah. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. The fluctuation of day and night. Today we were coming from the airport to this place. It took us more than an hour and a half. And you see the traffic is almost this traffic. And they said that هذا خلق human beings. This is the creation of human beings. With all this technology, with all these brains and minds and smartness of human beings, with all this sophistication and advancement and civilization, you find the messy traffic. Do you see this in the creation of Allah? Every day you get up in the morning, you find the day. And at night you find the night. Day and night, day and night. Consistency. Every day you find the sun coming from the east. Have you ever seen it coming from the west? It will come from the west, by the way. On that day that we are waiting for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when you do this, immediately I connected between this problem in traffic and the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these galaxies and stars and planets running in their orbits without clashing with each other. هذا خلق الله فأروني ماذا خلق الذين من دونه. This is the creation of Allah. Show me what others created or made. These are the verses that you need to spend time and you need to connect them with whatever scene or event or accident that happens to you. This is where the Iman comes and penetrates your heart. And day after day and day after day, Iman goes deeper and deeper. Iman doesn't come to us in one shot, and that's it. No, Iman comes gradually. And also, it might go gradually or quickly. It goes deeper and deeper by good deeds, and it becomes very bad by bad deeds. Very logic and very simple logic, you can see it. Islam is very logic and a religion of logic. You do something good, you get something good. You do something bad, you get something bad. Unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives. So, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Are ayat for the smart people. Who are the smart people as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defined them? It's not, as you think, the PhD holders. It's not the IT engineers, it's not the doctors, no. Anybody, even without education, can be one of those ulil albab, smart people. Two qualities Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about the smart people. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. One thing is that they always remember Allah. They always mention Allah while they are standing, sitting, laying down, while they are downloading something from the internet, while they are waiting on a call, they can say Subhanallah. They can say Astaghfirullah. They can say Subhanallah wa bihamdi. At every moment they remember Allah. They connect everything with Allah. They attribute the things that they see to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, so remember, وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ. They reflect, they spend some time on what? Not on the Lexus or the BMW. No. No, Allah. See how much time we spend searching the internet when we want to buy a car? 7 days, 7 months, 7 years, just to save $1,000. This is not the type of reflection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. You reflect upon the creation of the heavens and the earth and what is in between them. you reflect upon yourself. Do you know how many living machines we have in our bodies? Each one of us has 3 trillion living machines moving in our bodies. Each one of us. 3 trillion living machines moving in us. These are the cells. Don't you need to say Subhanallah? Don't you need to say Alhamdulillah? Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these blessings. The result of these two processes, remembering Allah and reflecting upon His creation, is what? Iman. Your heart will open up. رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. You have not created this for useless purposes. There should be a purpose. And there should be Jannah. And there should be Nar. And there you come to the conclusion, فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّهَارِ. Before you say, فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّهَارِ, you glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who gave you all these blessings. Brothers and sisters, it is the month of Ramadan. It is the month of change because of the intensity of ibadat that we do. And you will find a lot of people after Ramadan, alhamdulillah, they come back to the track. They come back to be good Muslims. And the way to do this and to continue in doing this, to continue this level of ibadah. Increase your ibadat, because the effect of an ibadat is the heart, and it makes the heart soft. And if it is not soft, it will be like rocks. Then I will give you 2 examples how the Prophet ﷺ dealt with the Quran. And I want us, because sometimes some of us are reading the Quran and saying the ayat of Quran. Some of us, we are discussing with each other. Then I tell him, did you hear Allah saying that? And all of a sudden he would tell you, but Sheikh so-and-so said so-and-so. Or my father back home said so-and-so. Or we do this and this as a habit. And brothers and sisters, when 2 of you are discussing and one says Allah or His Messenger said so and so, stop talking. Stop talking and listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Let me test you. What's today? What's today?
Friday.
Huh?
Friday.
Okay. What month is this?
October.
Oh, the Hijri month.
Ramadan.
I'm sorry to say, all of you failed the test. The Prophet ﷺ asked these same questions that I asked to the companions. The response was what? Allahu A'lam. But you didn't do it. Because you think, right, that it is today for sure. Yeah, it is Friday. We know that. All of them, it was the day of Arafah. A very famous day for them. They knew the answer, all of them. They knew that it was the Hijjah. But they have reached a level when the Prophet ﷺ asks them a question, they would know how to answer. Allah wa Rasuluhu a'lam. And that's why in Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la tuqaddimu bayna yaday Allahi wa Rasulihi. O you, those who believe, do not say anything. Do not suggest, do not say, I think. Before you say, I, you should say what Allah and His Messenger said. How long would it take us to reach this level, brothers and sisters? You remember this was Hajjat al-Wada'. The Prophet ﷺ, in 23 years, he took the companions to that level of loving Allah and His Messenger. And when we say loving Allah and His Messenger, what's the implication of love? Can I get an answer?
Respect.
Obedience. The Arabs have, excuse me, have a line of poetry that's very beautiful, very short. لو كان حبك صادقا لأطعته إن المحب لمن يحب مطيع. If your love for him is a true love, not a love that's claimed, you would have obeyed him. Because the one who loves obeys the one who is loved. Let me ask you, don't raise your hand, I know the answer now. When your wife wants something specific, the green color, would you go and buy her the red color? No. If you love someone, you do the thing that he loves or she loves. And this is the essence of ibadah. Unless we translate these beautiful words that I love you, you know that there's people who say that, oh, I love you, honey, and he's sitting with the other girlfriend. But this is the hypocrisy. This is the hypocrisy of the heart. By the way, we can be the same. But this heart, you have no control in it. We have no control in it. And that's why, what was the most common supplication that the Prophet ﷺ did in his house? This is an easy one. What is the most common supplication, dua, that the Prophet ﷺ used to do in his house? Can I get an answer? Who is this? MashaAllah. This is the dua, the most common dua. Raise your hand, Jazakallah. And I want to, not to be proud of you, just to be proud of you. I want you to teach it to them. It's very simple. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. O you, the one who turns the hearts, who changes the hearts, fix my heart on your religion. Who is saying this? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is afraid that his heart might change. And he asks the support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fix his heart on the religion of Islam. This is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how about us? And this is the most common dua, as Aisha radiallahu anha said, the most common dua that he used to say it at home, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Wallahi, we never know. This heart that's inside our bodies, it might change. At a time of test or fitna or tribulation, it might change. Should I continue, Sheikh? Open. Friday. Two more minutes. One time the Prophet ﷺ was walking and there was a woman sitting and she was reciting the Quran. She was reciting the Quran. He was just walking like the brother who went out right now. He was just walking and she was saying, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجهه يومئذ خاشعة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stopped and he told her, نعم أتاني نعم أتاني. A woman was reciting the Quran. She was not addressing Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, but this is how he interacted with the verse. He said, yes, I got the news of the Day of Judgment. Yes, I heard about it. So he reflected upon the ayat of the Qur'an. She was not addressing him. And he responded. And this is what we want. When we hear somebody is reciting the Qur'an, pay attention to the Qur'an. Pay attention to the threat. Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing you as he was addressing Muhammad. The other example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved to hear the Qur'an from other people. One time he found Ibn Mas'ud walking and he stopped Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He said, would you read the Qur'an for me? So Ibn Mas'ud, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Ibn Mas'ud to recite the Qur'an to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I just want you to think of that. So he felt shy and he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أقرأ القرآن عليك وعليك نزل؟ I mean, how come would I read the Quran to you and the Quran was revealed to you? The Prophet ﷺ said, إِنِّي أُحِبُّ أَنْ أَسْمَعَهُ مِنْكَ. I love to hear it from you. Brothers and sisters, learn this. Wallahi, we used to visit some people who have very good voices, to visit them in their houses, to sit with them and to ask them to recite some verses for us. So the Prophet ﷺ did this. Then he started reciting. He recited Surah An-Nisa until he reached verse number 41. When it says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فكيف إذا جئنا من كل أمة بشهيد وجئنا بك على هؤلاء شهيدا. How would be the situation if you bring one from each nation as a witness on them, and we will bring you Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be a witness on all of them. So when he reached this, he told Ibn Mas'ud, حسبك الآن. Stop. It's enough. When Ibn Mas'ud looked at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he found his tears are wetting his lihya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He loves to hear the Quran from beautiful voices. And he hears and he is affected, not just those guys when they say, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ, they would say, Allah, because they were intoxicated by the voice of the reciter. And the verse is talking about a very tough issue. The same verses were recited upon the companions and they were crying. And these verses now are recited to some people and they say, oh, beautiful. Recite it, I say it again. Being affected by the voices of the reciters. Brothers and sisters, this is in brief what I wanted to tell you. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month, in this blessed month, as He gathered us today in this place, to gather us in paradise with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اللهم اجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلوبنا يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بارك الله فيكم.